T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. We're broadcasting on a Bears Friday. And Bears Friday on the Score is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. I haven't talked to Mark Grody in a couple of weeks. That's not good. He's a good man and thorough. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Hey, Groats.
What's going on, man? It has been too long, and I am stationed out here at Hallis Hall right now as we await the final injury report of the week. And I guess the one big name on there would be Eddie Goldman, who was limited in practice yesterday. We'll get his status today for the game Sunday. And then, of course, today also on the defensive side of the ball is number 52 day Khalil Mack. Always speaks on Fridays.
All right, well, good. I'm curious on what he has to say about trying to get after Matthew Stafford. I mean, the Detroit games last year for Mac were really good. That's where a bunch of highlights come from, him knocking people down and running through tackles and all sorts of other stuff. But this year, that Lions offense has been pretty good. From what you've seen and people you've talked to, what's been working for them?
Well, I mean, first of all, Matthew Stafford and his touchdowns to interceptions is excellent. I think it's like 19-6, something like that. So he has been very careful with the football this year. As a matter of fact, I talked to Kyle Fuller yesterday, and Kyle Fuller is a very serious guy. He doesn't just say stuff to say stuff. And he referred to Matthew Stafford as an elite quarterback. As in one, he went on to explain his definition of elite, and that is a guy who can make all of the throws in any situation. So I think he's feeling the pressure better than he has in the past. You also have two, obviously, really good wide receivers, both of whom went over 100 yards in their game last week, and Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. And those two guys, they're a bunch. I mean, they are a big-time challenge. They are going to be for Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara and Eddie Jackson and Clinton Dix. And, you know, again, Fuller, another thing he told me is, look, when you're going up against guys like that, you have to, it's the whole team. Like, you have to depend on help. You have to depend on scheming. So it's a big game for Chuck Pagano, the Bears defensive coordinator as well. But they've got the right guys and the right skill positions this year to help that offense to thrive. And it has this year.
The latest from Detroit is that Matthew Stafford was limited in practice this week with a hip and back. There's no way he's not playing, right?
He's playing. Yeah, he's playing. I would be shocked at this point if he was to not play, because, you know, even if he's not 100%, I mean, Detroit, similar to the Bears, it's like their season is on the edge right now. Like, they are, just like the Bears, probably in must-win territory. So if you're at that point in your season, you don't bench your starting quarterback, for sure.
What's it been like covering the Bears the last 2 weeks?
Well, very different than it was last year, that's for sure. It's, you know, you know this, Lawrence. I mean, it's harder to cover teams that are not winning. You know, it seems like, I will say this about the team, that there's always a theme that is unified within the locker room. That a couple of weeks ago it was, we're having a players-only meeting, and every player admitted to that and said that they were unified and that they had a good talk. No real specifics came out of it, except for the fact that a lot of the running game was definitely discussed, as I found out. And then it was, you know, after that it was, we've got to go 1-0. You know, that's the rally cry now, and almost every single player is saying the same thing. So the message is sent out, presumably by the head coach, and then the players will utter it to reporters after that. So they have, you know, whether they really feel it, that they still have a chance, they at least are sticking with the, you know, the particular company lines, and that they still feel like they are in this thing. Really until further notice. So yeah, it's a lot more difficult to cover the team because every question that we ask is a negative one, you know, as opposed to really, you know, getting into the X's and O's about the Detroit Lions. It's more about survival and what do you do and how do you go forward. And, you know, reporters don't particularly like having to ask the questions, and we know the players don't like having to answer them.
Mark Grody is joining me live from Halas Hall. We're talking about the Bears. You're getting ready to take on the Lions. With Trubisky and his reaction, I know that you have a very unique vantage point because you're on the sideline for the entire game for our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. How would you say, how much pressure is he under, and how would you say he's handling it?
Ton of pressure. You know, I mean, he's under a ton of pressure, and Matt Nagy kind of admitted to that the other day, that everybody knows the heat is on him. I mean, everybody could say, and this is another thing that has been talked about consistently throughout the week, players and coaches, hey, it's not just the quarterback, it's everybody. But we all know the way it works in the real world, all the pressure, all the heat is always going to be on the quarterback in general, but especially when it is a guy who is a number two overall pick in the draft that the Bears moved up to get. So the stakes go even higher. So yeah, I think he's definitely feeling the pressure. How is he handling the pressure? I think it's been hot and cold for him. I think that, you know, some weeks every week it seems like there's a new theme to Mitchell Trubisky. One week he's edgy, the next week he's playful and thorough. The next week, you know, he says something about the TVs being turned off, and that becomes a huge story. So I think it's been week to week. You could tell that he hears the outside world, whether he wants to or not, no matter how hard he might be trying to block it out. And even if he has blocked it out, people are going to remind him of what's going on. I mean, it's actually impossible to, in this day and age, to block everything out. So I think it's, you know, in terms of how he's handled it, I think it's been hot and cold. I think there's human nature involved. I mean, I personally hate getting criticized, and, you know, I can handle it to some extent, but can you imagine the barrels of criticism that he is dealing with at his age as he still tries to get better within this offense? So I think, you know, honestly, Lawrence, I think it's been a challenge for him.
Go back with me 2 weeks ago to the Chargers game and how that half ends and the reaction that the people in Soldier Field gave. You're there on the sideline. Can you hear it?
When the field goal is missed?
No, I mean, when at the end of the first half, when fans are booing them off the field.
Oh, that. Yeah. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Because the Bears, you know, it's like, I'm walking with them. Like, I'm going into the tunnel too because I've got work to do back there. And usually it's a bunch of guys like hoping to high five the players as they go into the tunnel, or in the rarest of cases, even get an autograph signed. But, you know, when your team is leading and you're going in that tunnel and the boos are raining down, it's crazy. But, you know, it's not like, I mean, they were booing throughout that whole half, and we've heard the boos, I think in every home game at some point in time this year. And heck, it started in the Green Bay game. So, you know, once the booing begins, I think fans feel empowered to continue to do it for the rest of the season. It was, I will say this, it was a disappointing half. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Whether or not they deserve to actually be booed by the home crowd, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it was a very strange feeling, and it has been kind of bizarre. I mean, I always go back to what it was last year and the standard to which this Bears team is held, you know, based on what they did last year and based on the diehard fans that do exist in this Bears base.
Yeah, it's a quick change that has happened to the Bears in that regard. And I do wonder what that does to both Trubisky and Nagy, where they were the toast of the town. There's no one that people were more excited to see in the streets of Chicago than Matt Nagy. And now that is not the case. And I do wonder if in honest moments that's something that they discuss.
Probably. I think for Trubisky's sake, more than anybody, I think that Matt Nagy is pretty good at handling this, because even last year when they took off after they were 3-3 and they just took off and put the entire NFL on alert, one thing that Matt Nagy kept on saying was, at some point in time, we are going to undergo adversity. Things are not going to go well, and we're going to have to handle that. And that's what he prepared for. Like, this is, like, he did the emergency drills for himself, and now we have ourselves an actual emergency. Like, it's stop, drop, and roll time. And, you know, Matt Nagy, I think, deals with it very well. I mean, he's pretty much the same dude every day when he walks in. We know that he's had some moments this year for sure where, you know, he's gone, had some back and forth with the reporters. But for the most part, he still comes in and is the same dude. And like I said earlier, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, you don't really know who you're going to get on a daily basis. So, I mean, if they haven't discussed it with him, I think that that's a problem. I mean, they have to sit him down and say, you know, maybe even on a daily basis, hey, man, look, this is the way it is. You know, you are a quarterback in Chicago. You're a quarterback in the NFL, for crying out loud. It doesn't matter which city it is. That's the guy that is always going to be the celebrity. You're going to have to deal with this. Keep your head up. You know, he said one thing that Mitchell Trubisky did last week, it was, you know, he talked to his old high school football coach. I'm sure you guys have heard those stories. And then he talked to his brothers as well. One of his brothers said to him, hey, I wish, you know, I could be in your position, as in the starting quarterback for a National Football League team, and you know, a guy making the kind of money that you are making as well. So I think that there's a lot of people trying to prop him back up and keep him in a straight line as much as possible.
Yeah, and I get that, but I mean, it still hurts. Like, even though you're a millionaire and you have a life that people envy, it doesn't mean that it hurts any less.
It's got to hurt like hell. I mean, like I said, it's like every once in a while. Like, I've always said this, and I'm sure I've been guilty of it too. Sometimes we don't really think of athletes as players. We think of them as our subjects. And, you know, they're just machines, and they owe us sound bites, and they owe us information, and, you know, they're required to speak and all this kind of stuff, and the content better be good, because if it's not, then, you know, we reporters, we're not doing our jobs in this hyper-competitive field in which we exist. And then every once in a while, if you and maybe this is not a great idea for a reporter to actually look into their souls and the fact that they are human beings, that if I put myself in Trubisky's shoes, man, I mean, and sometimes I have, like, I'll just be walking out of the building and I'm thinking, man, what if I was looking up at a TV and I see somebody dressed up as my head coach with a card on it that says I didn't choose Trubisky? I mean, I might cry, Lawrence. There might be large tears coming out of my eye ducts. I don't know. I just think that we don't often look at that. And I guess from a reporter's perspective, it could be dangerous because then maybe we don't do our jobs as well either.
No, I think that it's okay to tell that part of the story, because I think it's a significant part of the story, like how he reacts to it. And I don't know if there's a wrong or right way. I know the ways that it has been done. I did find myself, I was thinking that while they've been worried about his body language and stuff, I wish they would also show him videos of some of the quarterbacks, like some of the veteran quarterbacks, and how they handle their press conferences afterwards. Like, Phillip Rivers is a perfect example. Like, even in losses, like, he's not flipping out. Like, he's not, like, he's letting you in enough to explain, hey, this is not acceptable. We're trying to figure it out. But it doesn't seem like it's getting to him. But to not tell that part of the story is to, like you said, is to act as if they aren't human beings. But at this point, there are a lot of Bears fans who, like, don't care about that. They just want to see him win.
You know what? It's so funny you say that, because last week after the loss, you know, I am fortunate enough to be the first person who speaks to Mitchell Trubisky on our sister station on the actual Bears broadcast. I get to do a one-on-one with him. And, You know, not only is he a willing participant, he had, like last week, he was giving really honest, thorough answers. It wasn't as, you know, cliche as we normally hear from players or Mitchell Trubisky in general. And, you know, they were just really good, really long, very thorough, very substantive answers that he was giving after one of the toughest losses of the year. And, you know, I tweeted, somebody had sent something to me or had tweeted something like, you know, great honesty with Mitchell Trubisky, with Mark Grody in the locker room. And I, you know, I retweeted it with a comment saying something like he's a stand-up guy. And most of the responses that I got on there from that was people saying, who cares? It doesn't matter. You know, he needs to be good. That doesn't matter. You know, that's just self-serving on your part. And like, I learned really quickly that nobody really cares if these guys are good guys, how they treat the media, what they say. I mean, I think they look at it as a bonus if they're cool people. But for the most part, the fans look at the players as, you know, machines and subjects and fantasy football players and guys that drive, you know, goodwill from within the city as opposed to human beings as well. So that was just in a small microcosm. I learned that lesson from that tweet from last week, just with a, you know, casual comment of saying that Mitchell Trubisky is a stand-up guy. Nobody really cared. And I don't think, you know, honestly, when it comes down to it, I don't think anybody cared that Jay Cutler was a volatile personality, that all they wanted from Jay Cutler was to be a great quarterback. And that, at the end of the day, that's what it seems like it is.
What's interesting to me about that, Groats, is that I think that people will relish in the good guy-ness when a team wins. Like, the team wins, and then it's like, oh, and plus, they're great guys, and they're guys that you want to go have a beer with, and no one wants to have a beer with them when they're losing. It's a really interesting phenomenon. Like, you're right. Like, the idea that it's a bonus. And you hear Matt Nagy even talking about all of that stuff, too, when in reality, it really is. You can strip it down to the wins and losses matter more to people than what the people actually are.
Exactly. I mean, think about somebody like the guy we're going to talk to today, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's a good dude, but he does not throw out the personality. He does not need that. He's not like super fan friendly, but he's the most popular guy in this town. He's the most popular athlete in the city of Chicago right now. Was last year, is this year, despite all that, you know, despite maybe not being as impactful this year as he was last year. Nobody really cares. Would it? Yeah. And like you said, would it be, if he was, you know, the super gregarious guy, you know, he would go from a 10 to an 11. He would break the popularity meter. But, you know, it just to the fans, it really doesn't matter unless you're performing. If you want to go old school, like on a guy, I would say somebody like Scottie Pippen, man. Like Scottie Pippen is one of the most popular athletes of all time in the city of Chicago. People love Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen had very little personality, very little. Yet he's beloved.
How dare you, sir? How dare you say that about my favorite Bull of all time?
He was great, though. You didn't love him for his personality, though, Lawrence.
No, I didn't. I love the fact that he could guard 1 through 5. I love the fact that you got him on a break and you didn't know what you were getting ready to see, the long arms on defense, all of that good stuff. Well, Groats, I appreciate the very nuanced football conversation that we had.
That was fun. And by the way, when Scottie Pippen was in the Cubs booth, I totally pulled the Chris Farley show thing on him. I go, do you remember when you covered Magic Johnson that one time in that championship game? And he looked at me and goes, yeah, that was awesome, man.
That was awesome, man.
Seriously.
It was so awesome when you did that.
He did the big Scottie Pippen. You know the big Scottie Pippen smile. You know, he knew what I was doing. And that was, yeah, that was my favorite Scottie Pippen moment.
That's a good Scottie Pippen moment, sir. It's appreciated. I saw him that day. I saw him when he came up to Wrigley. Was that the league championship series when he was there?
It might have been.
He actually spends more time at Wrigley than people would think. You know?
Yeah, and he sat in our booth like for four innings. Like he was just he was sitting on the steps right next to him. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, because I wasn't covering the 90s Bulls. I was just a fanboy then. So it was like, this is awesome, man. I'm covering the Cubs in the playoffs, and I got Scottie Pippen next to me. Life is good.
And Scottie Pippen's just hanging out here, Bears. Groats, as per usual, thanks for the great conversation.
You got it, Lawrence. Talk to you soon, man.
That's Mark Grody, who covers the Bears for us here at The Score, and he's on the sidelines for our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The segment is brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner. Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu begins with a fever. So be prepared with a thermometer you can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies.
You know my favorite part about Scottie Pippen?
Sure.
Future.
I will not have any of this Scottie slander on my show. I won't. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to accept it. That is unacceptable and ridiculous.
Really? That's your man's?
That's my man's.
Hmm.
See, the next time that you come to the house, you should see that I have a wedding picture signed by Scottie Pippen. Me and Mel's wedding picture is signed by Scottie Pippen.
Just no affinity for Jordan? Just
no, like, no. I love, come on. Like, no. But Scottie was my guy. Like, I was Scottie. Like, if you were someone who likes to root for underdogs, Scottie was your guy.
How's the underdog? He's a champion.
But he wasn't always. How old are you again?
I'll be 27 tomorrow, sir.
He wasn't always a champion. And there were a lot of people who felt like he was the thing holding them back from being champions because there were some moments that Scottie had on the Bulls' rise up to winning championships that made people question him.
Some Lowry moments?
Worse than Lowry moments. They were him being bullied by the Pistons and not really responding, and then him having migraines and people wondering, like, is this guy really a championship-level player? And the truth was, yeah, he was. Had some rough moments, had to build up, had to callous up because the talent was always there and it was always evident. Damn millennials.
Yeah, honestly, like for the younger millennial, their only connection to Scottie Pippen is Future.
I get that, but all I'm saying is that there's a great basketball story there.
Could you imagine if that deal with the Sonics had ever gone through?
Dude. Look, man, you need to get up on you're slacking on your Pippen. Right now,
for a guy that likes basketball so much and hates history, he's choosing hating history over liking basketball.
Correct. Like this should be the thing that he delved into as a child, and especially now as someone who hosts the No Zones podcast. Do you know how many episodes of the podcast you could do on Scottie Pippen?
Yeah, probably a bunch. Yeah, I know the walk on to this college basketball D3 team. You know, uh-huh. I know all the stuff about Scottie. It's just funny poking at people that love Scottie.
Yeah, you're a bad guy.
Yeah, Tony doesn't like when people poke at LeBron.
No, that's better not. Sacred ground.
Blasphemous.
Scottie, him LeBron up.
Get out of here with that. Come on.
He would hem him up. That's right. That's why Jordan keeps picking him before his top five.
He should really stop.
LeBron's not even a Hall of Famer yet. According to Jordan, and quite honestly, it's the truth. He's literally not in the Hall of Fame. Hater. Back after this on The Score. So, a text came in. It's like, well, wait, how did you get the Scottie Pippen thing? Did you just like walk up to him and ask him? No. Shout out to my friend Chelsea Gates, who I used to work with over at 120 Sports. She's getting ready to marry Peter Julian, the golfer. And her and my photographer got together because she knew like how like crazy I was about Scottie, that she got one of the original prints and got him to sign it. It's pretty dope, man. It's pretty dope. So congratulations to Chelsea and Peter, by the way. They're going to get married at the end of the month. I would go and be at the wedding, but the Bears are playing the Lions on Thursday, and I have responsibilities here. So shout out to Gates. I loved working with Chelsea while she was here. Really sweetheart, just a sweetheart of a person. And we had a lot of fun because that job for her was like straight out of college. And she was willing to kind of kick back and learn. And me and her and Michael Kim and all my people over at 120. Shout out to LB, Laura Britt, who's the me of San Francisco. And my boy Tyler and Dave Ross. We had a good time. So shout out to it gives me a chance to thank Chelsea and congratulate her on her wedding, because I know that that's going to be a thing. Her and Peter are finally married. Good stuff. Good stuff. More about, I want to go back to this Scottie Pippen thing with you, Tony.
Yes.
So what's your, okay, I get that you're too young to really have even have any relationship with, because you were what, six at the last Bulls championship?
Yeah,
is that right?
Right. Yep.
So what's your first like big Bulls, like, is it D Rose? Is that like the first like guy?
Bulls?
Yeah.
No, it was Jamal.
Really?
Yeah, I've always loved Jamal Crawford.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I mean, that's fair. I mean, that guy.
But like superstar connection with the Bulls is Rose, yeah.
But your dad never told you stories about those Bulls?
Yeah, he did. I mean, they were cool, but I mean, again, they weren't mine.
No, I get that, but I feel like you just kind of glossed right over Scottie's career. Just like,
well, it wasn't good memories from the second stint.
That's true. And then, you know, there was also the 2 years where Jordan wasn't there, where as a Scottie fan, I was hyped. Because it looked as if Scottie was going to be good enough for them to at least be in the mix. And then the U Hollins game happened. Man.
How mad was Chicago? Look, after that series.
Shout out to my guy, Richard. We were watching that game at McCabe Hall. I was at DePaul when it happened. And we were like, I can't even. And I'm sure that you're a Bulls fan of a certain age. You're right there with me. The type of cuss words that came out of my mouth when that happened were unbelievable. Oh! Like, they were. And I was like, man, Scott, he's finally going to get his validation. And then they took it away from him. And
my whole thing with Scotty, though, too, when Mike retired and then it was Scotty's team.
This is what I'm telling
you. And he was so anxious to get Jordan back. Like, the dynamic. And I get it. Jordan's the greatest.
Who wouldn't want
ever.
Michael
but
Jordan
no, no, no.
back?
Here's my point.
From it's the guy like, that what? Loves.
Can I?
Nope.
Can I get the point out?
No. From the guy that loves. Everybody teaming up.
Yeah, no, that's not my point. My point is, of course you want Jordan back, but it's been your team. Does the dynamic change? Or do you challenge Mike and say, hey, you were gone. You know, I held this down. We didn't lose. We made it to the playoffs. We could have made it to the finals. Let's play one-on-one to see whose team it is now.
Well, you don't want to play one-on-one.
I'm just saying, at least try to say, you know, the dynamics should have changed, in my opinion, if Scottie was that guy.
I actually thought that Scottie in 94 did a really good job of assuming leadership on the
Except
Bulls.
That one time.
Later on with the 1.8, it was a terrible look. I understand that my favorite player has flaws. I get that. But still, if I was was I 20? When that happened, man, I was on fire. On 19 when that happened.
That
on
was 95, 4 or 5.
94, 95 season.
I was 8 or 9.
Yeah. You have no idea, Tony. You really have no idea what it was like to watch the Bulls have to stair step their way up to a championship. Where you're like, they have a lot of cool stuff. And then it would always be the Pistons. Like, and to this day, I don't have a lot of love for the Pistons. And I'm still mad at Isaiah. And I don't care if Vincent Goodwill hears this or not. To me, he is persona non grata. And when I saw him on STL with Cap, I was like, how dare you? How dare you put him on TV in Chicago? How dare? And I don't care he's from here. How dare you put him on TV?
Even I'm too young for the lead up because I was born in 86. So my first like tangible memory of watching the Bulls was the Shrug game.
It's really interesting too, Campy, because like I don't know if people necessarily hold grudges in some of the other sports, the way like Chicagoans in particular. Like the Brett Favre thing. Like Brett Favre used to turn the Bears' lights out. But I think that there was at least, and as we look back on it, people are like, man, Brett Favre was a lot of fun. And he seemed to be having a lot of fun. And he had a lot of respect to the guys that he played against. It is not the same with the 80s and 90s Pistons. It's not. Other than John Sally, who came here and won titles. Like, it's not the same.
That Rodman guy, too.
Even with him. Don't bring up Bill Laimbeer. Don't bring up Zeke. Because, I mean, even Mark Aguirre. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's hard for me. As a DePaul fan, that's hard for me.
That's when they were actually good.
They're 2-0. They have the most wins in college basketball, sir. Because they played on back-to-back nights.
Don't stop believing. Woo!
They did beat the University of Chicago. I was like, how did that get on the schedule? So good for them. They played Fairleigh Dickinson tonight. It's his school, not a person. We'll have that game, I guess, here on the Score. But you don't understand, man. You millennials.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen any championship basketball, so.
Yeah,
I mean.
you really haven't, and it sucks. It really, really sucks. Neither have I since 1998. It sucks.
LeBron was in the division.
Yeah.
So there's that. Saw him four times a year.
That's another guy. Like, even Bulls fans are like, he won a whole bunch of MVPs, but I don't hate him.
You kind of get it. It's like, yeah.
Oh, at the time when the Bulls were good, people hated him.
They did hate him, but they don't hate him now.
No.
Bro, that's that Miami Bulls series, man.
Except for Shep, by the way.
Well, Shep is, you know. If you're looking for plumbing and heating supplies, don't fumble away your time and money with the other places. Hey, can you guys do me a favor before we take a break from McNeil and Parkins? Can you pull that Jeremy Roenick Jordan story? You think we have enough time? Just pull it and see if we got it. Not for now, for the next segment. Don't fumble away your time and money with those other places. Go to supplyhouse.com. Next day delivery, industry low prices, and replacement parts you can't find anywhere else. Supplyhouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house. Supplyhouse.com. And the bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game, sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Ice Box. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are Wolves. We are winners. Back after this on the Score. So Mac just came in here. He said he's feeling bad because I'm doing the Crohn's Colitis Foundation and this weekend the gala, and Dan's doing stuff for children with cancer with one stuff. And he's like, I gotta do something. You do stuff all the time. It's fine. Speaking of McNeil and Parkins, who I'm going to talk to momentarily, since we were talking about Jordan, I thought this was appropriate to bring back. Yesterday, Jeremy Roenick was on the McNeil and Parkins show, and he told an incredible story about Michael Jordan.
Did you gamble with Jordan on the course?
So I got a good story. I don't know if I should tell it on the radio, but screw it.
No one listens to our
show,
JR.
Yeah, right. Back in the 90s when the Bulls were on fire, this was like end of the season for us, end of the season for them. I get a call from Michael. Meet me at Sunset Ridge. Early, we're going to go play 18 holes. We didn't have a game. We actually had a day off. So I meet him at Sunset Ridge. Big old Greg Kunkel, who's one of the best people in golf here in Chicago. I got to mention Greg at Sunset Ridge. So we went, we played around, beat him for a couple thousand, and I'm getting ready to leave. Now, Bulls are playing that night. They play Cleveland that night. So I'm thinking he's leaving. It's 10 o'clock. He's like, no, let's go play again. So he goes and we fill up a bag full of ice and Coors Light and we walk again. We roll around another 18. And I take him for another couple. And And now we've been drinking all afternoon. Now he's going from Sunset Ridge to the stadium to play a game. And I'm like messing around. I'm like, I'm gonna call my bookie and all the money that you just lost to me, I'm putting on Cleveland tonight. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'll bet you that we win by 20 points and I have more than 40. I'm like, done. son of a gun goes out, scores 52, and they win by 26 or something after 18 holes of golf.
And 36 holes of golf.
36 holes of golf and having like maybe 10 Bud Lights.
Stop.
The man, Michael Jordan, to me, is probably the best athlete that I've ever seen, that I've ever been around and watched play, and, you know, the way he presented himself and played the game. And I mean, just amazing.
What year was that?
That would have been 92.
92, so early Jordan.
92, 93, yeah, 92, 93, maybe 90, yeah. So, 92 to 93.
So JR was like just a little bit off. I think Jordan had 44 in that game, but he's right. He did what he said he was going to do, score more than 40, and the Bulls won by more than 20. I'll talk with McNeil and Parkins about that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.